Okay, today we're talking about the topic of Tumas Kohanim. The source of the Isser of Tumas Kohanim is a pasuk in Parshas Emor. If you have the Makoros, you can follow along. Emor al Kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta aleihem lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. A Kohen is muzer not to become tamei to a nefesh, to a mace. Tumas nefesh. A Kohen is not muzer from Tumas Nevelo, Tumas Sheretz. There's a dead dog on the road. There's no problem with the Kohen touching that. But he can't become tamei to a nefesh. That means a mace adam. There are some exceptions to this. As the Gemara points out, the Kohen is allowed to become tamei to a mace mitzvah if there's no other individual who can aid in the kvura to the Zayin Krovim. A Kohen is allowed to become tamei. Perhaps there's a mitzvah even for the Kohen to become tamei. But aside from those cases, a Kohen is not allowed to become tamei to a mace adam. What does it mean to become tamei? What types of tumah are we talking about? So the three basic types of tumah that are discussed are tumas maga, that means touching the mace; tumas masa, which means carrying the mace even if you're not touching. Sometimes you can carry something without actually touching the item. That's also a tumah that the Kohen is muzer on. And then there's tumas ohel. That comes in two forms. One is mahil al hameis. That means that the individual is serving as an ohel on top of the mace, or the mace is on top of him, either way. And then the other example of tumas ohel is where the mace and the kohen or the nazir, whoever can't become tamei, is sharing the same roof, which is called ohel hamshocha, that the ohel of the roof is drawing the tuma from the mace to the kohen. Okay, these are the different examples of tuma that the kohen is muzer. The first question that Rishonim ask about tumas kohanim is, what's the status of Meis Akum? A Kohanim Muzhar from becoming Tomei to a Meis Akum, to a non-Jewish Meis. Most poskim assume that regarding Maga and Masa, there is no difference between a Meis Yisrael and a Meis Akum. A Kohanim is Muzhar not to touch a Meis Akum. By Tumas Ohel, that's a Machlokas. A Machlokas Tanoim, Machlokas Rishonim had a Paskin, Machlokas Mechaber Amor as well. This is in Source 4. Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Simen Shinai in Beis, and Sif Beis writes, Kivrei of the Kochavim, Nochom Izar HaKoen, Milelech Aleihem. The Mechaber Paskins L'chumra, like the Bali Tosfos. Interesting. Mechaber Paskins like the Bali Tosfos here. That one should be Machmir, Koen should be Machmir on Tumas Akum, the Ohel. This is talking about Ohel, to walk on the Kivor. So one should be Machmir, even for Meisei Akum. Says the Ramah, Afal Bishayesh Mekilim, even though there are those who are Mekil, Rambam, the Ramah Me'ikaradin is willing to be Mekil for the Rambam. The Nochon Lahachmir concludes the Ramah, but it's best to be Machmir like the Machaber. So Machokas Machaber, Ramah Me'ikaradin, whether a coin is Muzer or Meisei Akum, but the Ramah agrees Lemaisa with the Machaber. He says it's proper to be Machmir. So, yes. Yeah, but he doesn't give the other option. So, you're saying the Losha Nochon Mizar sounds like it's only Lechatchila to be Machmir.
That's what it means.
Is that what it means, Lois?
Yes. Uh-huh. You tell your time, or talking in between, for example.
I don't know, I hear. It's never said over that way. The fact that the Mechaber doesn't mention the other Shita sounds like it's more of a Chomer. It's more Me'ikar Adin. The Ramah is adding to the Mechaber. Benkach uVenkach. It's still, both of them are saying it's appropriate to be machmir. Right? It seems to be appropriate to be machmir. Some seem to say the Sfardim are more machmir in this. I mean, many of the discussions we're going to have are based on the fact that perhaps Meikra didn't equate to the Ramah to be Meikra. According to the way you're reading the Mechaber, the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim are really in the same boat. It's quite an interesting read. You have to think about that. But the Ramah seems to agree with the Mechaber. Nochon lahachmir, it's appropriate to be machmir. So it seems as though the Shaila is open and shut, that there's really no room to be Mekel. Comes the Dago Mervav on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and says, perhaps there is room to be Mekel, based on a Raivin. Which Raivin? The Rambam, in explaining the Gemara, talking about when a Kohen is Muzar from becoming Tamei to a Meis, the Rambam says the following, that if a person receives Hasra'a more than one time for the Isra of Tumas Meis, so then he can get Malkus for each Hasra'a. Can't get Malkus for every tumah if he keeps on touching a mace unless he gets a different hasra. It's a different davera with a different hasra, so then he can get Malkus for that. So says the Rambam, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is this said that he can get a separate Malkus for a new Hasra? That's only a Pirish Minatuma. But if it's Tuma B'chiburim, if he's holding on to the mace, and then he touches a different mace, he's not going to get another Malkus. Because Tuma B'chiburim, if he's still attached to the first Tuma, then he can't get Malkus for the second Tuma. That's the Ramban in Suas 2, going backwards. Hilchas Nazirus. The halachas of a Nazir, halachas of a Kohen are very similar regarding this. So nitma lemeis pa'am harbi avi shulchay malchus akolachas va'achas la'shamayim ein bezin malchus also el achas, says the Rambam, can't get malchus for every mice in a year, but in hisu ba'al kol pamu pamu matame lokal kolachas va'achas v'med v'amamor b'shenit mul pirish v'choz v'noga avam hayon ogeh b'meis v'adayin ha'meis v'yodo v'noga b'meis acher ein ochay v'el achas avu v'shehisu ba'al kol negiyo negiyo. So the Rambam says tumah b'chiburim, if you're still mechuba to the tumah, then you're not going to get malchus for another negiyah. But if you're not mechuba, if you're pirish from that tumah, so then you will get malchus. That's what it means when the Mishnah, when the Braises say that for each hasra'ah, you can get a separate malchus. Comes the Rabbin and says, no, I don't think pirish from that tumah is enough to get another malchus. Tumah v'tumah, says the Rabbin in source 3, afilu pirish v'chaz v'naga potter. Even if pirish v'chaz v'naga, he's still going to be potter. Why? Because the Rabbin holds that if you're chazav and nogah the same day, you're not most of tumah tumasa. You're not going to delay the hazav of shlishi ushvi. Right? You need the hazav of the paraduma. You can't start yet. It's still the day that you were nogah but tumah. So if you're chazav and nogah, you're not most of tumah tumasa. So the Ravid says you still wouldn't get malchus for another hasra. It's only if you'll be most of tumah tumasa. If you're delaying the hazav of shlishi ushvi, so then you'll get malchus again. Well, certainly if you became tar and then you're nogay again, then of course you'll get malchus. But even if you're mosif tum al tumasu in the sense that you delay the tahara, let's say you started counting right the first day passed, and then you're nogay again, so then you will get malchus according to the right. But it's not enough to be chazat to be pirish minatuma, you have to be most of tumal tumaso to get malchus for the second year. So comes the rabbi and says, "Va'akonim b'zmanazit mei meisein ba'odein aleim chiyev tuma v'machayev osam olav lahavi rayt." So says the rabbi, based on my yisod that only if you're most of tumal tumaso can you get malchus for the second year, "Akonim b'zmanazeh arul tmei meis." All of us are tmei meis, not just the konim. So ain od aleim chiyuv tuma. There's no chiyuv if they're going to be nogeya the mace now because they are already tumah. So mechayev osam olav lahavirai. You want to be mechayev them? You want to give them malchus for touching a mace? You got to bring the raya. Poshup shad is that kohenim is manazel tmei mace. So there shouldn't be malchus if the kohen touches a mace because that's not most of tumal tumasa. We're all tmei mace. So every day a person is viewed as a tumei mace. He's going to have to start counting the 7 days for the Hazor, Shlishi, Ushvi every single day. So if someone is Nogeh B'meis, a coin is Nogeh B'meis today, so since he has to start the count again, he's not Moses Tamal Tamasa, so there's no reason why he should get Malchus for that Nagib. Comes the Dogo Mervav and says, what did the Rabbi just tell us? Rabbi told us that since Kohen is Manazah, wrote to Meimis. So there's no chi of malchus for a kohen who touches a mace because he's not most of tumal tumasa. So he says even though we don't paskin like the Ravid regarding this meikarad, we paskin like the Rambam. But maybe we could be mitzare if the ikaradin of the Ramah. That if the ikaradin of the Ramah is like the other Rambam, that the two Rambams don't. Rambam is talking about different things, right? If the ikar hadin of the Ramah is that we can be megal for the Rambam that says that kohenim are not muzer on meisei akum. Even though the Ramah himself says that nochon la'achmir, zokta dogal merbaba, maybe we can be mitzara for a svek sveka, the ikaradin of the Ramah with the Ravid. That the Ravid holds that kohenim b'zman hazeh are not muzer on tumas meis. Right? Not muzer on tumas meis, even though we're not going to be megal for the Ravid outright, but we can be mitzara if the svek sveka that the ikaradin, kohenim are not muzer on meisei akum anyway, so at least for meisei akum, perhaps there's room to be mekil that Kohanim would be allowed to become tamei.
To be in an ohel
with Meisei Akum.
They still have an issa negiyah
because that's not part of the Ramah. Everyone holds that issa mago masa apply. Not everyone. The Shach Shach has those that are make believe for that, but we paskin like those who claim that we're machmir for magen maaseh. So according to the tzir for the dogma of the tzir for the rabbit and the ikur at the end of the Ramah, the kohanim would be allowed to enter into an ohel with meisei akum because you have a tzir for the specs for ekalakul. The Dogon Rebbe is not convinced that this is so compelling. He later is chosev. This is all quoted in the Pischei Tshuva. Look in Sura 16. We quote the Pischei Tshuva who has the Dogon Rebbe, and then he points out that the Dogon Rebbe is not convinced that it's correct, because he says maybe the Ravid was only talking about the Chiyuv Malkus Hamachayev Osam Ein Ona Lein Chiyuv Tumah. He interprets that to mean perhaps that means that's a Chiyuv Malkus, not the Issa. Maybe there still is an Issa Daraisa for the Kohen to become Tomei Bizman Hazeh. It's just there's no Chiyuv Malkus. That's the focus of the Mishnah that the Rambam and the Ravid are going on. So maybe it's only a Chiyuv Malkus, but there still will be an Issa Daraisa according to the Ravid. So you haven't solved the problem. We're not talking about a Chiyuv Malkus. No one's discussing giving Malkus to Kohen. But we're talking about Isurim Daraisa. So maybe even according to the Ravid, there still is an Issa. If Pirish Ben Atumah, there still be an Issa. No Chiyuv Malkus, unless he's most of Tumal Tumasa, but there still is an Isser. So maybe you don't have a Svek Sveka, claims the Dogon Rebbe. Adds the Pischei Tshuva from the Chasam Sofer at the end, the last two lines there. The Chasam Sofer points out that the Ravid and Tmim Deim is Chozebo completely. The Ravid and Tmim Deim retracts and seems to pass them like the Rambam. That only if the Kohen simply was Pirish Min Atuma, then that if he was Pirish Min Atuma Nochamo, that according to the Rambam, if he's Pirish Min Atuma, there still is an Issa. What? Tuma B'chiburim, there's no problem. Pirish Min Atuma, there still is going to be an Issa, exactly. So even if we learn Kipshuto, that the Ravid holds that as long as you're not most of Tumal Tumaso, there is no Isser. Maybe the Ravid really agrees with the Rambam that as long as you're Pirish Minatuma, there is an Isser. So even if we don't change Pshat in the Ravid, but in the Tmim Deim, the Ravid paskins like the Rambam that as long as you're Pirish Minatuma, there still is an Isser. So you've lost the Svek Sveka completely, claims the Chasam Sofer. So some have pointed out that it's not clear when the Tmim Deim was written. Whether the Hasabas of the Ravid and the Rambam came first or came later or came after the Tmim Deim. Chasam Sofer is assuming that the Tmim Deim came afterwards. Someone in one of the years that I've given the Shiurim before, someone pointed out to me that that's not clear. There are those who discuss that, exactly when the Tmim Deim was written. So I don't know. I can't get involved in that issue. But the Pischei Tshuva, that the Chasam Sofer himself felt that the Tmim Deim came after. I don't know. Even if we won't the Macher based on the Chasam Sofer from the Dogon Rebbe himself, it seems as though he's not convinced that the Ravid is talking about Isser, he's only talking about Malkus. Why is this all relevant? So this is brought up regarding attending medical school. Can a Kohen attend medical school? We know that medical students have to take a course in human anatomy, in dissection of the human cadaver, and Bizman is that you can't learn anatomy from a book. They used to learn from books, but now they have cadavers. So the question is, what is a Kohen to do? Can a Kohen attend medical school? So there's no question the Kohen can't touch the mace. So I'm assuming that the cadaver is not going to be Jewish. Obviously, if the cadaver is Jewish, it's a big problem. But if it's a non-Jewish cadaver, so the Kohen still, according to most poskim, would not be able to touch the cadaver because that's maga in a mace. And even for mace akum, we're machme for maga. The question is, can he have his lab partner dissect the cadaver, and he'll just watch. He'll watch, so he'll be in the same ohel as the meisakam, but he won't actually be touching the meisakam. So some wanted to suggest, based on the Dogon Rebbe's Svek Sveka, maybe there's room to be mekel. Me'ikra adim we paskin, at least for Ashkenazim, me'ikra adim we paskin like the Ramah, the meisakam are not mitame ba'ohel. And although the Ramah is machmer, but you have the Ravid in your back pocket, that as long as you're not most of Tamal Tamaso, you're still okay. Bizman as this, since all the Kohanim are Tamei Meis, they're never most of Tamal Tamaso, so there shouldn't be a problem. You have the Svek Sveka to be Maker. That's what some wanted to suggest. It's a highly questionable suggestion, yes?
To be in that room, not to...
To be in the room, not to touch, right. Right, of course. Kohen would not be able to do that dissection. He'd only be able to be in the room. He'd have his lay partner do all of the dissections, so that he wouldn't have to touch the Mesakim. It's highly questionable. First of all, the Ravid is a Das Yachin. Secondly, we're not even sure that the Ravid said what we think he said. Right? The Ravid perhaps is only talking about Malkus, not about Isser. What's more, maybe the Ravid himself was Chosebo. The Chasam Sofer says that the Ravid was Chosebo. So that's what Rav Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe in Yerodei and Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Nun Hei. Moshe was asked this Shaila, and he says he doesn't think he really can be Somech on the Ravid Bechlau. Says he doesn't think he really can be mitzarefit to a svek sveka. Some asked him, but going to medical school is pikuach nefesh? Saving people is pikuach nefesh? Moshe says he doesn't think it's pikuach nefesh. It's not pikuach nefesh. If you know how to be a doctor, you know how to save people, then you're mechuyev to save the people. It's not pikuach nefesh to go to medical school in order to be able to save people. It says it's no more, it's not pikuach nefesh, just like there's no mitzvah to learn how to go into finance so that you'll be able to give tzedakah. If you have the wherewithal to give tzedakah, so then you're mechuyev to give tzedakah as much as you can. But if you don't have the money, then you're not mechuyev to give tzedakah as much as other people. So it's the same thing here. It's not pikuach nefesh. Some people say, but to be a Jewish doctor, it's important to have Jewish doctors. Moshe says to that, v'chichaser rofen ba'olam, there aren't enough doctors. There are plenty of Jewish doctors also, so the Kohanim don't have to become doctors. He's very unconvinced that there should be a kula here for Kohanim to attend medical school. There are others who are more mekel, because sometimes a doctor, you know, a prospective doctor, a young adult feels that he wants to go to medical school, he feels it's his calling in life, and he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, and it's very important to him. So there are some poskim that you have to long discussions with the applicant. In the long discussions, they are willing to find kulas here. But I'm just pointing out that it's a very, very difficult shayla. It's a sugya chamura. It's not something to be mekel about flippantly, because at first glance, the simple psak should really be l'chumra.
The Yisr Uzmanazah would be daraisa.
Why not? I think so. The Yisr would be daraisa. So, you know, to say sveka drabban on the kula, I don't see why that would apply. Those attending dental school might have the same issue. I think they also take a course in human dissection. It's not just medical school, so it's really a sugya chamura that has to be taken seriously. And if a person has a shayla, they should bring up the shayla. Bring up the shayla, and it has to be discussed, and you have to really figure out how necessary is it for the individual to go to medical school. The best thing for the person to do is to find another interest. There are other things people can do. They can serve the Jewish community. They can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different ways, and that's really the best thing for the Kohen to do. Okay, this is one shayla that comes up in the context of Tumas Kohen. Another shayla that's raised is whether a Kohen is allowed to visit sick people in the hospital. Sick people in a hospital. So the question is, what kind of a chola are we talking about? So if the chola is a goses, which means that the doctors say that they're expecting him to pass away within the next 3 days, no one knows when someone is going to pass away, but He's holding there, and the doctors feel that he might pass away within 3 days, so then he has a din of a goseis. So that's machlokas machaber amor, whether the kohen is allowed to enter into an ohel with a goseis. What's the problem? A goseis is not a mace. Well, why should there be a problem? The Ramah is actually machmer, the machaber is making. The Ramah is machmer b'pshuto. Most achronim assume that it's because of the chashash to Rabbana, chashash that the goseis might pass away. Not that the goseis has a din mace. We're afraid he'll pass away with the coin there, and the coin is going to be ba'ohel with a mace, not just with a ghost. It's better to avoid. Rama says it's better to be machmer to avoid the possible tumah with a real mace. But that's not the ikar case we're talking about. There is another situation of chola, where perhaps the coin should avoid going to the hospital. And that is a chola that's not a ghost. Maybe a coin shouldn't go to the hospital even if the chola is not a ghost. What could be the problem? The problem is not so much the chola that the kohen is visiting. The kohen might be visiting someone who went for surgery. He's not, you know, he's doing fine. He'll be out of the hospital in another day. Maybe the kohen's wife gave birth. Right? He could be visiting someone who's technically pretty healthy, but they're in the hospital for specific reasons. It's not that chola that's going to be a problem of Tumas Kohanim, but rather there are other cholim in the hospital. Rada Cholim in the hospital, and the question is, does that impact on the Kohen? So the answer is, it could impact on the Kohen in a number of different ways. First of all, if a Kohen is visiting a Chola on a floor where there is a prevalence of people who are passing away, oncology, geriatrics, there are people passing away on those floors. If someone were to pass away on that floor, then if the doors are left open, the Kohen really is in the same ohel as the Nice. The fact that there's a mashkof on the coming down by the door, that doesn't matter. It's not even a tefach. It doesn't matter. The tumah spreads. It's nimshach across all of the roofs, from room to room, room to hallway to room. That's a single ohel. That the Kohen would be in the same ohel as the mace. That would be a serious problem if the doors are left open. So if the Kohen were to visit his chola and then he finds out that someone had passed away on the floor, he'd be stuck on the floor. If they close the door to the room where the mace is located in, so you'd think that would solve the problem, but they probably are going to open and close the door pretty frequently. It's very difficult to try to negotiate leaving the room where the Kohen is. You know, he'd have to run into the bathroom, close that door, then have someone else check to see whether the door is closed, and then the Kohen would have to run out of the floor. It's complicated, so perhaps it's best for a Kohen to avoid visiting the sick in the hospital because someone might pass away on that floor. But the truth is, the problem is much more serious than that. It's not just that we're afraid that the Kohen is going to be in the same ohel as the mace mamish, but rather there could be a problem of sof tumulatzis. Sof tumulatzis is a much more expansive issue. And that is, even if the mace taka is not in the ohel with the Kohen. Let's say they close the door to the room where the mace is located. So the problem is, how are they going to take the mace out of the hospital? Not through the window. They're going to take the mace out through the hallway. So once they're going to take the mace out through the hallway, it could be that we look at it as though the mace is already there. So even if the door between the room where the mace is located and the hallway is closed, if we treat it as if the mace is in the hallway, then the Kohen would never be able to open up his door, the door to his room, until the mace is taken out of the hallway. What's more, if the Kohen enters in an elevator on the ground floor, the elevator that they're going to take the mace out through, so then he'd be in an ohel where it's sof tumulatzis, even if the mace is not there, because that's an ohel where the mace is going to pass through on his way out of the building. That's a very serious issue. It's not just that the Kohen is going to be in the ohel with the mace, but sof tumulatzis expands that concept so much more. That even if the mace is not in the ohel right now, as long as we expect that the mace is going to leave through that derech, then we treat it as though the mace is there. The source of the din of sof tumulatzis is a mechaber in Yerideya. Sorry. Thank you. This is in source 8, if you have the makaros. Chotza mokevas zizin. Let's say there are different overhangs around the houses. Different overhangs. So they don't know how they're going to take the mace out. There are different doorways. They can take the mace out through multiple doorways. So then the Kohen is not allowed to go under any of those overhangs because he doesn't know where the mace is going to leave. If we know the ziz that they're going to take the mace, the doorway that they're going to take the mace out of, so then the other zizim are not going to be a problem because that's not sof tumulatzis. But if you don't know where, then it's going to be a problem. V'hatam says the Rambam, Mishum dehol v'sof tumulatzis derachsham ro'in ki ilu yotza. Sof tumulatzis means that even though the mace is not there yet, we treat it as though the mace is already there. So that really creates a big problem with the hospitals. Because the question is, where can a Kohen go? You know, if you have a hospital with a big atrium, a ground floor, forget about elevators. If they leave the doors open to every floor, then once you enter the atrium, you're exposed to all of the sof tumulatzis in the whole hospital. So basically, the Kohen won't be able to walk anywhere in the hospital. Shaila chamur. So, the first room to be made... Yeah, question.
Is the din of sof tumulatzis, is it din d'oraisa?
I think Rabbi Sala Ranchberg in his comments to Masechta Beitza has a suffix, whether it's halacha moshe sinai or only a din d'rabbanan. Right. That's part of the room to be megal over here. It's not clear whether it's a din d'oraisa. So one kula that some suggest is maybe by Meisei Akum there's room to be Mekel by Sof Tum Latzis. If you're in a place where Rov Meisim are Akum, Rov Meisim are non-Jews, Rov Cholim in the hospital, I should say, are non-Jews, so then perhaps there's room to be Mekel, because even if there is a Meis, Sof Tum Latzis by Goyim might not apply. It's a big machlokas in the Poskim. Rabbi Shechter in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon I don't have it right here. I'll have to find the field as we go. But it's an Ost test there. I'll have to find for you. I think it's Simon Lamed Rav can do that, but I'm not sure about that. Beshechter wants to be Mekel. He feels there's room to be Mekel. Why? So he says, the whole din of Sof to Malotis is only a Chumra anyway. Rashi and Beitza seems to say that it's a din to Rabbana. So he says, you don't have to be Machmer so much, you don't have to couple two Chumras together, since Me'ikra Adin, Rama holds you can be Mekel for Meisei Akum. So at least by Meisei Akum, you should be able, even though the Rama says Nachon Nahachmer, but by Sof to Malot says you can be Mekel because you don't have to be Mekel of those two Chumras together. Again, if Sfardim would assume Me'ikra Adin, the Mechaber holds that you should be Machmas, then maybe there won't be room to be Mekel here. But the other Achronim have a different reason for why you can be Mekel for Sof to Malot says by Goyim. They say, what's the whole idea of Sof to Malot says? That it's expected that the Meis is going to leave. Since there's a Chi of Kvura, it's expected the mace is going to leave, so Sof Tumalatzis tells me that even if the mace is not there as of yet, we treat it as though the mace is already there. But since there's no chi of kvura for non-Jews, so maybe there is no expectation. We don't look at it as though it's expected that the non-Jew is going to leave the Mokum. So maybe the holding of Sof Tumalatzis doesn't apply by Akum. Even if Sof Tumalatzis is a halacha Moshe Sinai, maybe it doesn't apply by Akum because the whole concept shouldn't apply since there's no chi of kvura by Akum. Some are mekil for Sof to Malatzis by Goy. And Bechlam, over here, we don't even know that someone has passed away. We don't know that there is a mace. So that's even more room to be mekil. What's more, Bezman HaZeh, they don't take the mace out through the elevator in the front of the building. They take them out to the service elevators. You're not going to use a service elevator. You'll use the elevators that they have for the guests that come to the hospital. And they're probably are separations, there must be closed doors between the service elevators and the area where the one who comes to visit the chol is going to be. So there are many reasons to believe that the problem of Sof to Malotzis probably will not apply over here. Unless, of course, the coin is mamish on the same floor. If you're on the same floor where the mace passed away, so then there is Sof to Malotzis in the hallway. So then the only reason for kula is if the mace is a non-Jew, and you assume Sof Tum Latzis doesn't apply by non-Jews, so then the Kohen would be able to leave his room, provided we know for sure that the room where the mace is located, that the door in the room where the mace is located is closed. Others point out that there might be another issue when it comes to hospitals, and that is that even if we don't talk about the cholim passing away, there are often skeletons in different departments in the hospital. They keep skeletons to train the medical students and the residents. There's a skeleton in the closet, so to speak, right? It's that skeleton that could be the problem for the Kohen, right? Because if the closet, if the area where the skeleton is, if it's not chotzitz b'fnei atuma, so then that might not even be sof to malotzitz. That could be ba'ol hameis mamish. If you have the atrium, right? The atrium in the ground floor, and everything is opened up to all the different floors, so constantly there is a mace there. If you have enough of the skeleton, rove minion of the limbs, or you have a shidra, a gulgoles, if you have the spine or the full skull, that would be a serious issue. So it's certainly best to avoid visiting the sick in the hospital if you can. The question is, let's say you can't. Let's say really it's expected that you should go to the hospital. A person's wife gives birth, or a person's parent is in the hospital. You have to go. If Moshe wants to say in a tshuva, in Yeridei Achelik Bei Simin Kuf Samach Vav, that maybe the makom that Tsar of the visitor. The visitor is going to be Betzar if he can't
visit the Cholim.
Nishim Shalom Mishpacha, so that the Mishpacha doesn't have ill feelings toward the person who avoided visiting the sick person in the hospital, maybe there's room to be made. I know for Cohen, whose wife gave birth, he didn't visit the wife in the hospital. He went when she was giving birth. She was a Cholish Yekosakana. He was allowed to help her, but after that he left. And he didn't visit. His in-laws came, and other people who were not Kohenim, they came to visit. Maybe his sisters came. Sisters are not Mitzvah in this, even though he's a Kohen. Right? So other people came. He made sure his wife was happy, but he didn't want to be Mekil. So he didn't. They made up. I guess he and his wife made up that he wouldn't visit her in the hospital. I don't know if you have to be so machmer. I think perhaps there's room to be Mekil based on the ideas that we presented. It's important to be sensitive to this shaila. Sometimes shailas come up and people just don't know to ask because they're not sensitive to metzias. They once held a high school dinner in the Museum of Natural History. Well, they wanted to hold a dinner there, but they didn't want to do it if it wouldn't be proper, and someone told them that there are mummies in the Museum of Natural History. So they asked Rabbi Schachter what to do. So he explained to them exactly which doors had to be kept closed, and they arranged with the museum to make sure all the doors that led to the mummies would be kept closed. It's not sof to malatzeis. They're not planning on taking those mummies out of the museum. So it's only that if the doors were open, you'd be in the same ohel as the mummy. As long as the door is closed, it's fine. As long as the door is closed, it's not a poseach tefach. There's no tefach opening. So we assume the door actually is chotzeit b'fnei atumah. The door is mechubel lakarka. Even though the door might have metal in it, but it's mechubel lakarka. Something that's mechabel tumah is not chotzeit b'fnei atumah, but the door is mechubel lakarka, so it's dino kakarka, it is chotzeit b'fnei atumah. As long as the doors are closed appropriately, it's not a sof to malotze, so then it shouldn't be a problem. So they actually had the dinner there in the Museum of Natural History. But it's important to realize that there is an issue. If they didn't realize there was an issue, they wouldn't have asked the shaila, and then they would have been mashal all the kohanim who came to the dinner. It's important to keep in mind, to be thinking. You got to think on your feet and be sensitive to the issue, so that if the shaila comes up, you're able to ask appropriately and find out how to solve the question. Another shaila that comes up regarding Tumas Kohanim is what happens if a Kohen's wife is pregnant? Can she go to a levaya? Can she visit a sick person in the hospital? Right? What's the problem? Not the Eishes Kohen herself, but the fact that she has an Uber. The Uber might be a Kohen. We don't know. Is it Zohar in the cable? Well, what exactly is he? So the Shachin Yeredeya quotes the Rokeach, Shachin Simin Shinayin Aleph, Sivkot and Aleph. It says that the Rokeach paskes that it's mutter for an Eishes Kohen who's pregnant to go to be metame to a mace, to come into an oil with the mace. Why? It's not the Rokeach, it's a Svek Sveker. Sofek Nefel, Sofek Ben Kayama. Dimtim Tzilomar Ben Kayama, Sofek Zocha, Sofek Nekevel. He might be a Nefel. Might not be a Bar Kayoma. And even if he's a Bar Kayoma, maybe he's not a Zohar. He's not a Zohar, and he's not Muzer in the Isser Tumas Kohanim. He's not Muzer anyway. He's not a... Right? He's not a Godol. But, Lahaz a Gedolim al Ktanim. There's a Chiyah for the Gedolim to prevent the Ktanim from becoming Tomei. There's a Chiyah for the Gedolim to ensure that any Kohen doesn't become Tomei to a Mace. And Mistama and Uber might have that halacha as well. The Gemara in Chulin talks about whether Uber b'me'ei zara kezaradami. That's part of the issue that some of the Achonim talk about. Maybe he doesn't have a din of a coin until he comes out of his mother's belly. That's a further complication, further wrinkle to this shaila. But assuming that Uber b'me'ei zara is kekoin dami, not kezar, so then there might be an inyan to prevent that Uber from becoming tamei. Zokter Rokeach, is it Svek Sveka? Maybe he's in a cave and then there's no problem. And Imtim Silamar Zachar, maybe he'll be a Nefel. So therefore, it's mutter for the Eishes Kohen to enter into the Oel HaMeis. That's what the Rokeach says. So comes the Pesach Tshuva and quotes the Magen Avram in Hilchos Shabbos, who asks the Kasha, why does the Rokeach need the Svek Sveka? Tell me, Hochi, the Svek Sveka. The halacha is the Tumma Balua, the Tara Balua, Eino Metame. Tara, something that's Tara, that's Balua in someone. Let's say a person swallows a ring. and the ring is tahar. And then he goes into an ohel hameis, the ring doesn't become tameh, it's tahara balua, it's inside the person. So as long as it's balua, it doesn't become tameh. So what's the problem? The uber is balua b'me'ei imo, he's not going to become tameh. So why does the rokeach need the sfek sfeka? Tepuklei, it's tahara balua and it's enem tameh. Comes Reb Chaim Isaac Gazensky in his Tshuva Sachiezer, and he lays forth a fundamental yisum. He says, maybe the answer is that the iser, the nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, is not an iser to become tameh. The kohen is not muzer not to become tameh to a mace. The kohen is muzer not to be miskarev el hamace, not to come close to a mace. That's the iser. Even though the loshen of the pasuk sounds like tuma, that the iser is an iser of tumas kohenim, maybe that's not really what the pasuk means. The pasuk means that the kohen is not allowed to come close to misa. He's not allowed to be miskarev el hamace. Dr. Chaim Meiser, if that's the Isser of Tumas Kohanim, we've been calling it the Isser of Tumas Kohanim, but maybe that's a misnomer. If the nature of the Isser is that the Kohen can't come close to a mace, so even if Tara Balua Eino Metama, it doesn't mean that he's not coming close to a mace. If he's in the Ohel HaMeis, he's inside the Eishes Kohen who's in the Ohel HaMeis, maybe we look at it as though the Uber is in the Ohel HaMeis too. He's coming close to Misa, he's coming close to the mace. Technically speaking, he's not going to become tummy, but he's still coming close to a mace, so maybe the issa should still apply. Dr. Okeah, but we have the Svek Sveika. That's why he needed the Svek Sveika to be Mekil, because he felt that Tara Balua Aina Matama doesn't help us over here, because the issa is not an issa tuma, it's an issa not to be Miskari Vela Mace. So if you're in the Olam, if he's in the Olam Mace, even if he's Balua Bema'imo, he's still Miskari Vela Mace. That's why we needed the other Svara of the Svek Sveika in order to be Mekil. Some say that, some mention that point too. There are many wrinkles to add to the shayla. I'm sorry? Aha. Did you hear me say? Yerech imo, so we view him as a zachar and a kev, meaning he's mamash a chelik of the mother. Chelik of the mother, so he has the same gender as the mother. I don't know. Interesting. Interesting discussion. Some point out that if you're going to be Mekel only based on the Svek Sveka, that's quite a limiting Svara. If you say Tara Balua Lomatama, so then as long as he's Balua B'me'imo, you can be Mekel, but if you're going to be Mekel only based on the Svek Sveka, so there are certain circumstances where that Svek Sveka doesn't apply. Let's say the woman is overdue. Right, she's carried to term. So if kololo chadashav, we assume that the uber is not a nefil. The only reason why we have to wait a month in order to determine that the baby is not a nefil, that's if lo kololo chadashav. But if kololo chadashav, then we assume that the baby is not going to be a nefil. So then your whole spek sveka fell away. You can't say safek nefil, safek ben kayama. If she's passed, right? If she's carried to term. What's more, nowadays that you can take a sonogram and find out what the gender of the baby is, so who says you can be Mekel b'chlal? Someone once asked this shaila to a rav. His wife wanted to go to a levaya. You know, this is a shaila that women are very sensitive to, because there's a levaya chalila, there'll be a death in the family, there'll be a levaya, and people are very sensitive. They want people to know that they're pregnant. So the woman will ask her husband to ask the shaila, because she wants to be able to go to the levaya, because if she doesn't go, then everyone's going to figure out, oh, she must be pregnant, because why else is she not coming? So it's a very sensitive shaila. So this shaila was asked once, and the rav asked, well, did you find out? Did you look at the sonogram? So some people don't want to find out what the gender is, but the pictures do exist. So they could technically call the hospital and find out what the gender of the baby is going to be. You know, Efshel Avara, maybe you can't rely on the Svek Sveka. Is that really true? If it's Efshel Avara, can you rely on the Svek Sveka or not? Chokas Rashi and Tosis is the beginning of Subas. Oh, okay, this is long the Shishayla already, right? But it's taka important to keep in mind that it's not so clear that you can rely on the Svek Sveka. There are circumstances where maybe you can't rely on the Svek Sveka. The Chaim Oizes Yisod very important for other issues as well. This Yisod Rabbi Shechter develops at great length in that piece in Be'ikvei Atzom. It's in Simen Lamed Hey. I see over here I have Simen Lamed Hey, not Lamed Vav. In Simen Lamed Hey, Rabbi Shechter wants to explain a number of other issues relating to Tumas Kohen based on Rabbi Chaim Oizes Yisod. He says, first of all, there's a concept called Cherev Harehu Kecholo. What does that mean? Cherev harev kachol means that, let's say a cherev, let's say someone was killed, chalila, with a cherev. Well, forget about whether he was killed. If the cherev touched the individual, or if the cherev was in the same ohel as the mace, it doesn't have to be mago masa. If the cherev became tamei, cherev harev kachol tells me that the cherev has the same din as the cholo. Just like the cholo is an avi avos hatuma, the cherev is viewed as an avi avos hatuma. If it touches something, that becomes an av hatuma. Okay? So cherev harev kachol is a chiddush, because if you wouldn't say cherev harev kachol, so then if the mace were to touch something, so then that item that it touches is an av hatuma, and then if that touches something else, so then it becomes a vlad hatuma. And a coin is not muzer on that. A coin is only muzer on coming in contact or touching a mace, being in the same oil as a mace, as an avi avos hatuma. He's not muzer in the other tumas of tumas mace. So if the cherev harev kacholo, if you wouldn't have been a cherev harev kacholo, so then the cherev is not going to be an avi avos hatuma, then the coin wouldn't be muzer not to come into the oil with the cherev. But because cherev harev kacholo, you might think that the cherev has the same din as the cholo, it's an avi avos hatuma, and the coin should be muzer. He shouldn't be able to come into an oil not only with the mace, but even with the cherev harev kacholo, because it has the same din as the mace. So what's the din? Is a coin muzer not to come into the same oil as the cherev harev kacholo or not? Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbi Chaim Cohen is quoted by Tosis in Masechta Nozir that avada a coin can't be muzer on cherev harev kacholo. It just doesn't make sense by Metzius that the Torah would have such a halacha, because Eiza Bayis Asher Tivnu Li paraphrases the pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. Eiza Bayis Asher Tivnu Li Ki Ein Bayis Asher Ein Shom Meis. Right, Sefer Yeshaya with Parshas Bo. Yeah, put it all together. Where's a coin supposed to live? But it's not possible that a house is not going to have a cherev harev kacholo. Why not? Well, because people do go to levayas. There is metal in the house. Right? There are watches in the house. Right? If a Yisrael goes to a levayas and is wearing a watch, or there's some kind of metal that came in contact with the coin can't come into any area where there's metal. And either came in contact with the mace or was in the same oil as the mace. Rabbi Chaim Cohen says, not possible that Cherev Kachol should apply to Kohanim. The Ramah quotes two deis about this, in Yaradeya Simin Shin Samach Tes. The Ramah concludes that you can be Mekel, that there's no din of Cherev Kachol by Tumas Kohanim. So what's that based on? We might feel bad for the Kohen, Ezebayis Asher Tivnu Li Kein Bayis Asher In Sham Mace, but the reality is, if there's an Isra Tumas Kohanim, there's nothing we can do. The Kohen has to avoid it. So what's the svara to say that cherev harev kachol doesn't apply by kohanim? So Rav Shechta, maybe based on Rav Chaim Oyser's yisod, we can give a justification that if the iser is not an iser to become tamei to a mace, but rather to be miskarev el a mace, maybe coming into the same oil as a cherev harev kachol, that's not coming close to a mace. The mace passed away years ago. The mace is nowhere near here. It's just a watch. It's just a piece of metal. It's just a socket. The mace is not here. The tumah of the mace is here, but not the mace itself. So if the whole issa for kohanim is not to come close to a mace, maybe there's no problem with cherev harev kachol. Maybe that's the basis of that shita, and that's how the Ramah paskins. What's more, based on Reb Chaim Oyser's yisod, we can explain the Rambam that we started with. We quoted in Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, when a kohen is going to get extra malchus for another mace and agia with another hasra. According to the Ravid, he has to be most of tumah tumas. According to the Rambam, as long as he's Pirish Min HaTuma, he can get another Malkus. So no one asked, what's Pshat in the Rambam? It's Pella. He's Pirish Min HaTuma, but he's still just as Tomei as before. He's not most of Tumal Tumasa. So why would the Rambam say that you can't touch the mace again, and if you do, you're going to get Malkus for a mace and a gear? What did he do? He didn't do anything. He was Pirish Min HaTuma, but he's just as Tomei as he was before. According to the Ravid, if it's the next day, so he's delaying the Tara, so that can be viewed as a new tumah, so to speak. He's still tumah, but he's delaying the tara, so that might be viewed as a new tumah. But according to the Rambam, as long as Pirish Min HaTuma, he also can get malchus for another negiah. How can he get malchus? He's not doing anything extra with the other negiah. He's just as tumah literally as he was before. But according to this, he saw it. If you say that the issur for kohanim is not to come close to a mace, not a tumah issue, not to come close to the mace, so if he touches the mace again, he's taka violating the issur. He's coming closer to the mace than he was before. Right? Let's say he's not in the same ohel as the mace. He's just he left the ohel. Right? He comes back to the ohel. So he's coming close to the mace. By leaving the ohel, he left the proximity of the mace. By separating from the mace, let's say it's outside and there's no roof. So he was touching the mace. Now he's not touching the mace. Now he's touching the mace again. He's not mosif in tuma, but he's coming close to the mace. If the issur of a kohen was not to be miskarev el mace, then we can understand why the Rambam says that you'll get malchus for another mace and a gear because you're coming close to the mace again. Yes.
Is the Rambam stand by just by magor or by oil? Namely that the difference could be that I think there's been by tuma that while you're touching the mace, you have the status of the aviyah lutz.
That's the tuma b'chiburin.
Right. I'm saying that maybe they're most of tuma by touching the mace.
But that's not what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that you'll get another Malchus if it's not Tuma B'chiburin. So Tuma B'chiburin either means that you're no longer touching the mace, or if you were in an ohel with the mace, it means that you left the ohel. Right? If the mace is in a building and you were there, then you left the building and came back. So you're not in the same ohel, now you're coming back. That's like a new Nagia. There it's not a new Nagia, but rather you're in the same ohel with the mace once again. What's the problem? You're not adding Tuma because you're just as tummy as you were before. It's not a new day. You might be just as tummy, but now you're miskarev el mace, so you'll violate the issa once again. There are those who wanted to suggest that based on this yisod, that the Ramai's maker, the Cher HaRekachol, doesn't apply to Tumas Kohanim, maybe we can solve all Tumas Kohanim issues. Just like that. It's all over. Why? Simple solution. A Kohen should buy himself a watch and give the watch to a Yisrael. When the Yisrael goes to a Levaya, he'll take the watch with him. It's not his own watch. He's wearing his own watch, but he just brings in the watch of the Kohen into the Ohel with the mace. The watch will become Tomei. It's Cher HaRegachol. It's an Aviyah Vosatoma. And then the Yisrael will give the watch back to the Kohen, and the Kohen will always wear that watch. Whenever he wears the watch, he can go into the Ohel with the mace. He can touch a mace. He can touch a mace Yisrael. There's no problem, because it's Tumah B'chiburin. He's touching the Cher HaRekachol. So if he's touching the Cher, he's not Muzer on Cher HaRekachol, so he's allowed to touch the Cher HaRekachol. It's Kecholo. He has a Mace Yisrael on his arm. Right? It's Ke'ilu. He has a Mace Yisrael on his arm. So Tumah B'chiburin, everyone says there's no problem of a new Negia, of touching another Mace, or coming to an O with another Mace, if it's Tumah B'chiburin. Here it's Ramish Tumah B'chiburin constantly. He'll be wearing the mace on his arm, La'olam Void. Buy himself an expensive watch that's not going to break, and then he could wear it for 10, 15 years and never have a problem with the maskana. He can go to medical school and do dissection. Not on a Jewish cadaver, but he can even touch a Jewish mace or do dissection on a mace akum. Right, there are other reasons why you can't do dissection on a Jewish cadaver anyway. Like nivul hamace. But at least on a mace akum, he'd be able to do the dissection himself. That's what someone wanted to suggest. Rabbi Shechter there in Be'ikvei Atzon in Os Yud, he says it doesn't really make sense. It's not the svara doesn't hold out. If you put two and two together, based on the way we're explaining why Cherev HaRekachol is permissible by a kohen, it shouldn't lead you to this kula. Because if the whole reason why Cherev HaRekachol is mutter to begin with is because we view the Cherev as not being the mace mamish. The Tumas mace is in the Cherev, but the mace is not here. So by touching the Cherev HaRekachol, you're not coming close to a mace. That can't permit me to actually touch a mace or to come into the Ohel HaMace. Because I'm touching the Cherev HaRekachol, I might be constantly Tomei, but I'm not Miskarev El HaMace. So that can't be matir, that can't permit me to actually be miskarev el hames. That would like turn everything on its head. It's a stira meneu bay, it's a tardy disaster. The heter of cherev harekachol by a kohen is assuming that the whole iser is karvus el hames. So just because I'm not mosif tumal tumasi, right, that's not going to be matir for me that I should be able to mamish come close to a mace. Of course, the whole issur is that you can't come close to a mace. So even if he's not Moshe to Maltimoso, if he's coming close to a mace, that's going to be a problem. So using the kula of Cherev Harehu Kecholo is not going to enable you to be makel in the whole issur of Tumas Kohanim, Rabbi Shechter claims. But that's not going to be that's not going to be a reason to be matir outright for Kohanim to attend medical school and to be mekel in the holy Sif Tumas Kohanim. Okay, questions? Yeah.
According to the Rambam, it's also for him to touch repeatedly the same mess, even though he's not being to repeatedly touch the same mess, even though he's not being Masa, because the Rambam,
because it means you're being miskarev el hamais.
So those that argue on the Rambam, right? We pass them like the Rambam, those that argue that there's no Masa.
Who says we pass them like the Rambam? We said before that we pass them like the Rambam. So no one asked, but what's the svar of the Rambam? So this is the svar of the Rambam. It's gevaldik. If we paskin me'ikar adin like the Rambam against the Raivet, we only thought, should we be sorry if the Raivet to a spek sveika, but we didn't think me'ikar adin should paskin like the Raivet. But now we understand why we paskin like the Rambam. The Rokeach and the Rambam, all these Rishonim are going the same way. They're assuming that Isra is not tumas kohanim, but rather not to come close to a mace.
So if we paskin like the Rambam, then this wouldn't start.
No, but the Rambam agrees that if it's Tuma b'chiburin, if you're actually touching the mace, you can put your other hand on the mace too, because then that's not called Piresh min Tuma. So if you're holding the Cherev Harei Kachalo, it's like touching a mace, so it's not Piresh min Tuma, so now I can touch as many maces as I want. That's the Chiddush according to the Rambam. Okay. Another common shaila that comes up is whether a Kohen is allowed to drive on a road next to a cemetery. Also, Tumas Kohanim issue. Let's say there are trees that are overhanging the cemetery. He's not going to go into the cemetery, but there are trees that are overhanging the cemetery, so he'll be in the same ohel as the mason in the cemetery. So, is that a problem? And how can you avoid that problem? Let's say the road that the Kohen takes is paved over a cemetery. Another wrinkle of that shayla. That's actually even a more chomer shayla. That's mahil al hamais. That's not even ohel hamshacha. So that's even more chomer. So is it permissible for the Kohen to drive on the road that's either paved over a cemetery or it's on the side of the cemetery and there are trees overhanging the cemetery in the road? So the first thought that you might have is maybe the car should be chotis b'fnei atumah. What could be the problem? The car is chotis b'fnei atumah. What's the issue? It's not so poshut that the car should really be chotis b'fnei atumah. First of all, there's a rule, the Gemara has a rule that ohel zorek, lav shmei ohel. Achlokas tanoi, but we paskin that a moving ohel is not an ohel. It's not chotis b'fnei atumah. Shida teva u'migdol, if you have a box and someone is carrying a coin in the box, or carrying something in the box, and then he goes into a makom that's tame. So we assume that all is zarek lachmei, all and that whatever is in the box is going to become tame. So the car presumably is an all zarek. It's moving. It's not moving. You take it to the mechanic. Right. So if the car is moving, he's driving on the side of the cemetery, driving over on the road that's over the cemetery. So if it's an all zarek, so then lachmei all. So some suggest maybe that's not so clear. Maybe the car is not an Ol Zorek. There's a Mishnah Lamela that suggests that an Ol Zorek, that the concept of Ol Zorek applies only if the oil is suspended in the air. Someone's carrying the oil, carrying the Shita Teva Migdal, so the oil is suspended in midair, that's an Ol Zorek. But something that's rolling on the ground, even though it's moving, that's not an Ol Zorek. So the car is not suspended in midair. It's rolling on the ground. So according to the Mishnah Melech, it's not an Ol Zorek. So maybe it should be able to be Chotzes Mer Tuma. What's more, there are others who claim that if it's Darko Bekach for the oil to be used in this way, then it's still an oil. It's normal for the car to be driven. It's normal for the car to be moved. The Shita Teva Migdal, the Migdal normally stays in its place. You want to move the Migdal, okay, but that's not the way the Migdal is normally used. It's not normally used by moving. It's a box, it's a tower, right? It's a teva. It's not normally used by moving it. If you move it, that's called an Ol Zorek, and maybe it's Lav Shmei Oel. But if it's Dark of a Kach, maybe we would say that that's not an Ol Zorek. It is an Ol Zorek. It's a movable oil. It's a moving oil, but maybe the din of Ol Zorek, Lav Shmei Oel, would not apply. So the Shaul HaMeshiv of Yosef Shaul Natanson in Madura Gimel, Chelik Beis Simen Mem Gimel, wants to suggest. But the emphasis is, even if the car is not an old Zarek, it's probably not going to be Chotzis b'fnei Atoma anyway. Because the rule is that a Dover HaMakabel Tumah is not Chotzis b'fnei Atoma. The car is made out of metal. Cars are made out of steel. They need the inner chassis of the car has to be made out of steel, has to be made out of a strong metal because they want to protect the passengers from a collision. So they can't make that out of lighter materials. They have to make the outside of the car, the bumpers and all this kind of, that's made out of much lighter material. But the inner car, the inner chassis, is made out of steel. Steel, part of steel is iron, barzel. That's one of the six matches in the Torah. It's metal, so if it's mekabel tumah, it's not chotzis b'fnei atumah. So even if ol zorek shmeo, but this is a davar mekabel tumah, that's not chotzis b'fnei atumah. So the car is probably not going to be chotzis b'fnei atumah. So this kohen is up a creek without a paddle. He's driving on a road, but he's in trouble. So the emes is, many posts can say that if the road is paved over a cemetery, that's a real problem because there's no room to be mekel. The road is mamish paved over a cemetery. The car is not chotzis b'fnei atumah. Either it's an old zarek or it's a davar mekabel tumah, which won't be chotzis b'fnei atumah anyway. So the kohen really should have to avoid that route. Certainly, if it's meisei Yisrael, he should have to avoid the route. But even meisei akum, it's hard to be mekel because the Ramah says that nochon lahachmir. If ikadaka achrina, certainly he should avoid it. How about to travel on a road that's on the side of the cemetery with trees overhanging? So assuming the car is not going to be chotzis b'fnei atumah, but maybe there might be room to be mekel. Maybe there are certain circumstances where you might be able to be mekel. Maybe there's a difference whether the road and the matzevos are on the same side of the trunk of the tree, meaning if the road and the matzevos in the cemetery share the same ohel, they share the same branch, so that might be a problem, Taka. If the car is not going to be chotzis b'fnei atumah, and the car and the matzevos share the same branch, so that would be an issue. But let's say the car is on the other side of the trunk. You have the branches over the matzeva, and you have other branches over the road, over the street, so maybe that would be, it wouldn't be a problem. So why should I assume that's not a problem? It's based on a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in Source 12, in Simen Shin Samach Tes Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case where there's an Ilan HaMesach Al Ha'aretz V'anofav Mufdolim Zemizeh V'tumah Tachas Achah Mehen. Let's say you have a tree, Mesach Al Ha'aretz, it's spreading out over the land, it's like a schocha, and you have tumah underneath one of the branches of the tree. The Ein Yodua Tachas Ezen, you don't know which branch the tumah is under. So the Shulchan Aruch says in that case, it's also for the coin to be tamis. It's also for the coin to go under that tree. What's trial? Why is it us? So the shachar quotes from the prisha that the reason why it's us is because it's a suffix. You don't know which branch it's under. It's because of a suffix. It's a suffix tumah. So misafik, the coin should not go underneath the branch. Suffix, the coin should not go underneath the branch. Even though Safik Tumah Bershus Harav and Sveko Tahar, right? But that's a discussion unto itself. It could be that's a din in Tumah, but not a din in Isser. The Isser of Tumah's Kohen will apply even if Mitzad Tumah, Safik Tumah Bershus Harav would say that he's really Tahar, but regarding halachas of Isser Tumah's Kohen, it might still apply. Okay, that's a little bit of a complication that you have to work on. But it sounds like the Shach is saying the whole Chumrah over here is Misafik, we don't know where the tumah is. It's underneath one of the branches of the tree. We just don't know which branch it's under. But let's say you know for sure that it's not under the branch that you're going underneath, then it's permissible for the coin to go there. It's only because of the safek. So if the tree is like an evergreen, or it's like one of those trees that, you know, completely looks like it's almost completely covering the whole area, even if the branch on this side is not the branch on the other side, but it's like a gush echad. So it could be in that case, the coin can't go anywhere underneath the tree, because that's viewed as one unit. But if the tree has multiple branches, you can see all the branches. There are branches on this side and branches on that side, and they're not related to each other. Right? There are leaves, but the leaves are not an ohel with the mace. The leaves flap in the wind. You have to have something solid. It's only the branches that are going to be a parallel. The branch on one side of the trunk is not the branch on the other side of the trunk. There are different branches over here. So if it's not a safek, you know that the branches over the matzevos are not over the road. So then perhaps there might be room to be mekel. Dayan Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak in Simen in Chela Dalet Simen Lamed Aleph. So he was asked the Shaila, and he wanted to suggest that at least for Meisei Akum, maybe there's room to be mekel. Again, if Meikra Din Meisei Akum are not Matame Bo'ah, so he says here we can be Mitzaref. Here we can be Mitzaref. There are some Rishonim who say that branches are maybe a satuma only in the place of the branch which is rochav tefach. Very often in trees, the branch close to the trunk is thick. It's a tefach, 3.6 inches in width. But then as the branch extends from the trunk, it becomes much thinner. So there are some Rishonim that say that it's maybe a satuma only to the area that's a tefach wide. So that's another cheshbin, right? That's another svara to take into account. It's dependent on where the road is located. If the road is a little bit further beyond the dividing line of the cemetery, and the only part of the branch, that's what often happens. You know, the branch is over the road, but if you move the car a little bit further to the side, you'll only be on the very thin part of the branch. Not the thicker part of the branch. So maybe that's not maybe a satuma. He wants to be mekel. He puts a lot of things together. He says, Meikra din, Meisiakam, not matame ba'oel. This shita, he quotes a rush. The rush says that the branch is maybe a satuma only where it's rachav tefach. Ohel hamshocha, he says, is more mekel. Maybe it's only a din derabonon. He even throws in the rivet for good measure. He wants to be mekel. He says if you can avoid the road, you can avoid the road. But he's talking about a situation where the person just can't. That's the only road to take. So is there any room for kula? So he puts together different svaras to be mekel in that circumstance. But that's because you're assuming that you're not going to be maybe a satuma. There are svaras to assume that you're not going to be maybe a satuma. To ride on a road that's going over a cemetery, that they paved over a cemetery, that's much more chomer. Because you're definitely ba'ohel with the mace. Question is, are you going to put together the Ramah, the Ikra Din of the Ramah with the Raga? It's not clear that Sfek Sfek is enough to be Mekel. But once you have another Svar, if you have another Shita to say that there's no Ohel with the Mace, so then perhaps there's more room to be Mekel. So of course, every situation has to be judged for itself. You have to figure out what the Metzias is. Someone has to shy, you can't just say it's Mutter or Asa. You have to figure out what the Metzias is. So do a road test and figure, you know, have a Yisrael do a road test and figure out exactly what the trees are like and where the cemetery is located. Then you can figure out whether you can drive on the road. In many circumstances, it's a problem. The trees grow big and tall and they stretch out over the road. And very often, if the trees are inside the cemetery, very often the matzeva and the road are going to be on the same side as the tree. So then you have the cheshbon, whether the part of the tree that's over the road is that rochav tefach or is it not rochav tefach. These are some of the shailas that you have to consider regarding this issue. Okay, another shaila that comes up is whether one can fly in an airplane over a cemetery. So here we're not talking about ohel hamshocha, here we're talking about mahil al hameis mamish. And it's a tumah daraisa. Right? This would be a tumah daraisa. So is it permissible to fly in an airplane if it's going to go over the cemetery? So here some of the poskim mentioned another svara to be mekel. Right? They say that airplanes are not made out of steel. Steel is too heavy. So to be fuel efficient, they make the airplanes out of aluminum, which is a lighter material. Aluminum is one of the elements, but the question is it a metal? It's not one of the six metals that the Torah in Parshas Matos mentions. Right? What are the six metals? Gold, silver, copper, iron, lead, and tin. Aluminum is not one of the magic six. So the question is, does it have a din of mateches? So the Gaon says that dafka the six matches, the six meaning matches, have a din of mateches, but other things don't have a din of mateches. So according to the Vilna Gaon, one might suggest that the plane should be chotzis b'fnei atoma. Not so fast. The Pharisee Yisrael in his Akdama to say the Taras argues with the Vilna Gaon, and he says that the six matches are lav bedafka nichtavu. It's not a limiting list, but rather the Torah is just saying that anything that has the properties of these six items has a din of metal. So if aluminum has the same properties as the other metals, it's malleable. What are those properties? Malleable, tensile, ductile. I don't know what the right, chemistry. So the different properties of metals. So if aluminum has the same properties as the other six metals, then it has a din of metal. So the plane is not going to be chotzis b'fnei atuma. Yes. But the problem is, even if you hold like the Vilna Gaon that it doesn't have a din of metal, but there are nuts and bolts that keep the plane together. It's mamid as a plane, right? It's mamid the plane, keeps it together. We know that a mamid has a din of the Dover Hatami itself from Hilchas Sukkah. Right? We talked about this at great length at the beginning of the year. So, if you mamid the plane with the Dover Mekabel Tumah, even if the plane itself is not really Mekabel Tumah, if the aluminum is not Mekabel Tumah, has a din of Mekabel Tumah. That's what the Taz in Yeridah and Shin Ayin Aleph Sifkat and Gimel writes Beferish. He's talking about a case of a door. They're trying to figure out, is the door going to be chotzis b'fnei atuma or not? So the Taz says that if it's nismach b'dover mekabel tuma, then it's not chotzis b'fnei atuma anyway. So even if the door is mechubal akarka, and it itself is not mekabel tuma, but if it's nismach b'dover mekabel tuma, then the mamid gives the shame to the whole item, and it's like a dover mekabel tuma, it's not going to be chotzis. But forget about this whole discussion. It's a nice lumdis. You know, we can talk about it over lunch, but the airplane is an oil zarek. We say that an ol zarek is lav shmei os, then it can't be chotzis b'fnei atuma anyway. And this is much worse than a car. It's not rolling on the ground, it's floating in the air. That's not floating, they're driving it in the air, right? But it's like floating in the air, it's like of haporeach. And the Rishonim point out that of haporeach is definitely an ol zarek. That's a very chomer halacha. That's not going to be in the ohel according to anyone. Right, even the machlokas tanoim, whether an ol zarek is shmei ol, some rishonim claim that if the ol is floating in midair, it's not being held up by anyone who's standing on the ground. That's definitely not an ol. Yes.
It's true, but the fact that it's
any purpose is to be near. So according to the other svara, then maybe it wouldn't be called zarek. Okay, but I think this mishnah might be stronger, might be a more powerful svara. Once it's floating in midair, I mean, lo matzinu zarek gadol mizeh. I mean, boy, you know, what else can be called Zarek if this is not going to be called Zarek? Chora, the Kohen is going to be in big trouble if you have an airplane that's going to fly over a cemetery. What's he going to do? Comes Rabbi Schechter in his article in Big Fat Stone, and he suggests that based on Reb Chaim Oiz's Yisod, we have the solution. If the Isser is not for the Kohen to become Tomei to the Mace, but rather not to come close to the Mace, then even if Tumah is Bokas Va'ola, even if the Tumah from the cemetery goes up, as far as the person is, but maybe that's not cool, coming close to the mace. The mace is thousands of feet below. So if the whole issue is that the kohen is not allowed to come close to a mace, so maybe that's not cool coming close to the mace because he's so far beyond the mace. Of course, that would depend on when the plane goes over the cemetery. The plane goes over, you know, for some reason, they always make cemeteries close to airports. Why is that? Well, because no one wants to live near the airport. So, you know, the people in the cemetery don't really have a say. So so they always, somehow the cemeteries are always close to airports. So the problem is, you're not thousands of feet up in the air when the plane takes off. So the question is, what route is the plane taking? It's not so simple. Right? If the cemetery is taka close to the airport, so then it would be a problem. But if you're just talking about flying over land, once you get to an altitude of, I don't know, 30,000 feet or whatever, you'll fly over land where there are cemeteries. Maybe there is more room to be medical because you're not really coming close to a mess. That's what Rabbi Schechter wanted to suggest. In fact, this piece in Be'ikvei HaRitzon, Rabbi Schechter presented at the dedication of the Katz Kollel. This is where he originally said this all. and there's someone quipped after the dedication. He comes out lakula on many of these shamas. So someone quipped that apparently Rabbi Schachter wanted to explain why Mr. Katz, who was a Kohen, why he was allowed to come to the dedication of the kola. I don't think that's why Rabbi Schachter said the shir, but that's when he originally said the shir, where he put forth this yisod, that the iser of Tumas Kohanim is not really Tumas Kohanim. It's not that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tame, but rather he can't come close to a mace. Based on that, he tries to explain many different kulas that might exist. One final issue. Is it mutter to fly in an airplane where there's a mace in the cargo? Another very, very important shayla. So here we're not talking about mace akum, we're talking about a mace yisroel. So obviously it's going to be more chamer. And based on our discussion, the airplane is not going to be chotis between atuma either, because it's metal, or it's an ol zorik, and it's not going to be considered an ohel. When it's flying, it's not an ohel, so the mace and the cargo, there's nothing separating between the mace and the cargo and the kohen and the passenger cabin. So what's a kohen to do? Can he fly in an airplane with the mace and the cargo or not? So some wanted to suggest maybe, even though the airplane is an ohel zorik, but relative to the kohen, relative to the passenger cabin, it's not an ohel zorik. The mace is not moving relative to the passengers. It's moving relative to the ground. So the Chalkas Yoav, Rav Yaakov Breish, has a svara that the din of Ohel Zorek Lav Shmei Ohel can apply if the two items relative to each other are not moving. Yes?
Chalkas Yaakov.
Where is it?
Yoav.
I'm sorry, Chalkas Yaakov. I said Yoav, I'm sorry. The Chalkas Yaakov in Chelek Bey Simin Kuf Ches Ostes. He wants to suggest that if the Kohen and the mace are not moving relative to each other, and there's an ohel between the Kohen and the mace, that'll be chotis. Others are not convinced that that's true, and ofa poreach is the ultimate ohel zarek. It's moving, it's floating in the air, so something that's floating in the air doesn't have a din of an ohel bichlal, so it shouldn't matter that the passenger is not moving relative to the mace and the cargo. Right? If the oil itself is moving, so then that's not an oil b'chalal. If it's not an oil, so then it's very hard to say that it should be chotis with the atumah. Some went so far as to create a box. They want to create a box of some material that's not mekabel tumah, and to say that the box should be chotis with the atumah between the mace. Put the mace into the box. So even if the airplane itself won't be chotis with the atumah because it's made out of metal, let's say. There are metal screws and something in the plane, but the box is made out of something that's not makabel tumah. That certainly should be chotis with the atumah. But based on this logic, if it's an ohel zarek, if it's moving, so then if it's not chotis with the atumah, then even making a box out of something that's not makabel tumah, a box out of rubber or something that's not going to be makabel tumah, plastic that's not going to be makabel tumah, it's not going to save you, because if the box isn't chotis with the atumah, so then there's no room to be makabel. Yes.
So if we're saying that the plane would be an oil at all with regards to being a chotis between the person and the mace, in what way would it be an oil bam shachat that like been sarif into, or we just assume that the mace is directly in the cargo hold under where the person's sitting? Because why else would we say there's a sarif between? The person's not directly touching the mace.
He's not touching the mace, but if he's in the ohel with the mace, right, he could be on top of the mace, that's one thing. The other thing is that it could be that the din of ohel zorek tells me that it's not chotis b'tnei atumah, but it can be mevi es atumah. So the top of the plane can be mevi es atumah from the mace. The atumah will go up to the top of the plane, and that will be mevi es atumah to the kohen. So the truth is, it really is best for a kohen to try to avoid this question.
But why do we assume that there is a chotis between the cargo and the cabin? The whole plane is made out of aluminum and aluminum is considered a metal.
No, but we said that aluminum might not be considered metal.
So
it's right. I'm trying to put the tzfaris together to see if we should be mekel or perhaps we should be machmer. It's best for a kohen not to travel in a plane that has a mace in the cargo, because the heter is very shvet. It's very difficult heter. So the best thing is either to take an airline that doesn't carry mason, or to leave from an airport. I think Newark doesn't take any mason. There are no. It's only from JFK that they take the mason, if I'm not mistaken. But they say that a kohen should leave Newark. Should leave from Newark. Or if he wants to go from JFK, he should take a plane, take an airline that doesn't take mesim, so then he can avoid the whole problem. A number of years, yes?
There's a difference between Jewish
mesim
or
mesiakim? Mesiakim are more calm, but I think in most circumstances, the mesim that they're going to take are mesi Yisrael, one of the very inherits
Yisrael,
right? To Israel, they're going to Israel. So we're normally talking about mesi Yisrael. It could be mesiakim too, I guess. I mean, I don't know if non-Jews even know of the fact that there are airlines that take mesim. This is a Jewish thing. So I'm not sure that they would know, but the shaila.
A lot of times people don't in the winter, they come back.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I think it's prevalent. If you're going to Israel, so then I think it's pretty common that you'll have a mace on the. You could have a mace on the plane if you leave JFK, but I'm not so sure that you have to be choshesh for a situation where you'll have a non-Jewish mace on the plane. A number of years ago, there was a whole uproar because people said that the flights leaving Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv, they fly over the Cholon Cemetery. There's apparently a cemetery in Cholon that the planes would go over. So a number of the Kohanim were up in arms. They didn't know what to do. Can they take a flight? Can they take a flight out of Ben Gurion? What should they do? The plane is going over the cemetery. Maybe they even felt that it wasn't going to be over the cemetery when the plane is very high, but it immediately goes over the Cholon Cemetery. So they looked into the matter a little bit. And it turns out that some flights don't go over the cemetery. Maybe late night flights don't go over the cemetery. But other flights that are not late nights, we're going over the cemetery. So they tried to speak to the government that maybe they should change the route of the planes. I don't know exactly what the reason was that they were going over the cemetery. Maybe to keep out of the residential areas, or maybe for certain security reasons. I don't know exactly what the reason was. So the government said that they were going to change the flight pattern, that it wouldn't go over the cemetery, but others have claimed that it hasn't changed, or at the time it didn't change. So many Kohanim didn't know what to do, so someone had the idea that maybe he should enter into a body bag, that he can go on his plane, on the flight that he's taking, and he'll enter into a body bag and have someone seal the body bag with a tie or with some tape, and that will serve as a tzomid pasil. The halacha is that if you have a kli, that on the outside, it can't be mekabel tumah on the outside. If you have a kli cheres, that's metame mitocha, but not migabo. So anything inside the kli cheres doesn't become tame. As long as you have a tzomid pasil, as long as there's something that's closing the kli completely. It's a seal. It's a good seal. So this person suggested, one of the dayanim from London wanted to suggest, and he actually did it himself. He was a kohen. He wanted to put himself in a body bag and have someone close it up. And he felt midin samid pasul that would be chotzes b'fnei atum. That would be chotzes b'fnei atum. So obviously there are many questions that relate to this issue. Is it an ol zarek? Right? Meaning if it's going to go over the cemetery, but it's moving, so do we say that the kli is going to be chotzes b'fnei atum or not? It might not be chotzes at all. But the emes is, many suggested that maybe it's not a tzomit posel b'chlal. Maybe the whole idea of tzomit posel is that you have to have a kli, and now you have something that is a strong seal on that kli. A twisty tie. Tape? Is that really enough to be called the seal on the kli? What's more, who says the body bag should be considered a kli? The body bag doesn't stay open unless there's someone inside of it, right? It doesn't stand. It's not like a kli that, you know, there's a clay kibble inside the kli, whether something is inside of it or not. Not so simple that it should be considered a kli. What's more, it's a disposable kli. It's used only one time. This person's not going to use it again, hopefully, right? Right, he's not gonna take it and put it in his luggage for the next time that he has his flight. People dispose of the kli, so maybe that's not called a kli b'chlal. Maybe the whole din of tzomit pasul only applies with a kli. Whether halachically it works or not, I don't recommend doing this. You know, this became a controversial. This became very popular because people with the smartphones, so they had pictures. There were pictures taken, and you know, in different news agencies, you saw pictures of people who wanted to be machmir for this, so they put themselves into body bags, you know, for the moment that they would be going over the cemetery. I don't recommend doing it. It's something that looks strange to people, and it's not even clear that the halacha recognizes that it's going to solve the problem. So the best thing to do is to try to ensure that the plane is not going to go over a cemetery, to ensure that the plane is not carrying any mason in it, And then the Kohen will be sure that he'll have a safe life, hopefully, and he won't become tummy to a mace. Okay,
yeah.
We'll stop here.
Yeah. There's a sign-in sheet if anyone's inside, please sign in. And if anybody wants to see the Mark finals from this test.